Good morning. So glad to see you all this morning, worshiping together. And I pray for the blessing of the Holy Spirit upon each and every one of us, especially through the word that God has prepared for us to hear. This is a true story that I found this past week, written by Marie Goforth. Chris was a non-commissioned officer in the Marine Corps. He had a couple of years of experience and had been promoted to his current rank of corporal, but still had a lot more to learn. He was assigned to drive in a nighttime truck convoy. Shortly after leaving, he noticed the truck behind him was following dangerously close. When he sped up, the other truck sped up. When he slowed down, it slowed down. No matter what he did, that driver stayed right on his bumper. Chris grew increasingly annoyed. "This guy is going to cause an accident," he muttered. As they approached the base gate, Chris made a turn and pulled up to the guard station. Looking in his mirror, he was horrified to see the truck behind him cut the corner too sharply and smash part of the gate. Jumping out, he pointed at the other vehicle and complained, "That driver has been tailgating me ever since we left. And now, look, he's knocked down part of the gate." The guard stared at him for a moment and said, "Corporal, that's because you are towing the truck." Chris was clearly an inexperienced officer, and poor night visibility didn't help him. However, that doesn't justify his failure to notice he was towing the truck or to drive more cautiously. To any beginner, it was obvious that a truck was being pulled behind. Similarly, whether believers realize it or not, the Holy Spirit's guidance is always present for them. Yet they often fail to recognize it. Like the soldier, we sometimes don't feel the Holy Spirit's guidance and see it as something unfamiliar. When we need to change our life's direction, we sometimes turn sharply, going against the Spirit's guidance. Why? Because we are sitting in the driver's seat, holding the steering wheel tightly instead of allowing the Holy Spirit to steer our lives. Rather than humbly and obediently following the Spirit's guidance, we try to control our lives ourselves, insisting on our own way. The gospel lesson today offers much to teach us about this. Let's focus on verse 18, where Jesus instructs his disciples to cross to the other side of the sea. Every action Jesus took was deliberate, from his birth to his public ministry, death, resurrection, ascension, and his eventual return. He grew up in Nazareth, a region in Lower Galilee, fulfilling the prophecy that he would be called the Nazarene. Later, Jesus moved to Capernaum, a fishing village on the northwest shore of the Sea of Galilee. He made Galilee his main base for ministry to fulfill Isaiah 9, which states, "Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and Naphtali, but in the future, he will honor Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned." This particular day was no exception. Jesus planned to cross the Sea of Galilee to reach the Gadarene. With a busy schedule ahead that suggested a set itinerary. During the boat ride, he and his disciples faced a fierce storm, which Jesus silenced. Once in the Gadarene, Jesus encountered two men possessed by demons and expelled the evil spirit out of them. In chapter 9, Jesus traveled by boat again to Capernaum, where he healed a paralyzed man and invited Matthew, a tax collector, to become his disciple. The Gadarenes are at the southeastern tip of the Sea of Galilee, and Capernaum is at the northwest tip. If Jesus had traveled between those towns on foot, doing all the things that he did, it would have taken at least a couple of days or more. And Jesus had a clear reason to travel by boat to go to Gadarene. After Jesus gave orders to cross the sea, a scribe approached him and declared, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." I initially misread this, thinking that the scribe added, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father," but that was actually said by another disciple. Despite this mix-up, the attitude of both individuals toward the following Jesus remained consistent. Jesus replied to the scribe, "Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." During the time, scribes often lacked a steady income. They studied Torah, prepared legal documents, and taught. But these tasks didn't generate enough income. Many scribes worked other jobs, such as carpentry or trading. Job security was crucial, and Jesus was indicating that following him meant risking that security. He said this because he sensed the scribe was not yet ready to make such a sacrifice. Another disciple said, "First, let me go and bury my father." Following Jesus shifted life's priorities. While burying a father was fulfilling filial duty, which was customary then and now, Jesus had to become the top priority. However, the disciple believed family responsibilities came first. When they committed to Jesus, Jesus was to guide their lives, yet they didn't anticipate such radical change. They admired the idea of following Jesus and were willing, but still wanted to control their lives by doing what they thought was right. They believed both following Jesus and attending to personal needs were correct, not realizing these goals conflicted. Some interpret prioritizing Jesus as neglecting personal and family needs. It is true that Jesus is before anything or anyone. Following Jesus means leaving everything behind. However, this shift transfers our responsibility for caring for our need to Jesus. Instead of struggling alone with endless need, we entrust them to Jesus, who has the power to provide. In practical terms, what benefits us more? A half following Jesus and the other half taking care of personal need? Or 100% commitment to Jesus? A life completely dedicated to Jesus does. As Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." The best decision is to give our lives fully to Christ and follow his guidance. Yet we often believe we can better care for ourselves than Jesus can, leading to a struggle between trusting God and our ability. And that is the inner battle that we always have, and that's why we need to rely on the Holy Spirit's guidance in our struggles. In John 16, Jesus described the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of truth, stating, "When he comes, he will guide you into all the truth." The primary role of the Holy Spirit is to lead believers into truth. And Jesus further explains, "He will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come." This means that the Holy Spirit's guidance aligns with both the truth and the Bible. The Spirit offers counsel only when it fully agrees with God's will. Therefore, the Holy Spirit's guidance is flawless and infallible. And this perfect guidance of the Holy Spirit is available for every believer. Paul explains that in Romans 8. And he says, "Those led by God's Spirit are considered God's children. Without the Spirit of Christ, a person does not belong to Christ." The Holy Spirit resides within every believer, guiding, helping them distinguish truth from falsehood or misleading claims. He provides perfect counsel, guiding believers to make wise decisions and choose the right path. Having the Holy Spirit dwelling within and guiding is a privilege and a blessing for believers. So when we have faith, having faith means that we have Holy Spirit as well. And Holy Spirit within us guides into the truth. We experience Holy Spirit's guidance all the time. Why then do we often fail to sense the Spirit's guidance? It's not because the divine guidance is missing, but because we prioritize self-interest and personal agendas. Distraction also play a role. We are often caught up with numerous interests that fulfill fleshly desires. Paul in Romans 8 described this struggle as the believer's battle with the flesh, which causes us to be less receptive than we should be to the Holy Spirit's movement. As a result, we do not hear the Spirit when he speaks. Well, in some cases, we hear, but we choose to ignore it. I have prepared two images summarizing this morning's message, and you have not seen them before because I created these visuals to depict two types of believers inspired by Matthew 8 and Romans 8. I drew this picture. Don't underestimate the potential that I have as an artist. It's AI generated, but I computed the information to depict this picture. The image depicts a man steering a boat. See that? Appearing in control, yet visibly fearful amidst a storm. His hand points forward, indicating his chosen direction, while Jesus stands behind him, pointing in the opposite direction. The man's facial expression reveals his hesitation to follow Jesus' guidance and his doubt that Jesus' direction can help him from to escape the storm. This scene reflects a common stance of many believers, including the scribe, the disciple, and many of us, and including myself, who say, I want to follow you, Jesus, but still have their own plans and prefer to take a different path. Would you show the next one, please? You see the difference? Actually, the other picture that I showed you was similar to the actually very famous picture of a young man on the hem and Jesus standing behind, right? But I added the image of the man pointing to the direction that he wanna go. But it was still similar to the popular picture. But this one, to me, is more accurate to describe the lifestyle that God wants us to have, led by the Holy Spirit. And I actually found something similar to it, but it was copyrighted, so I couldn't download it. Instead, I created this picture with the help of AI. Here in this picture, Jesus is the boat's captain, holding the helm. The man has surrendered control to Jesus and sits behind him. He no longer steering his own course. Instead, Jesus directs their course. The man sits behind Jesus and follow Jesus' lead. This image symbolizes a mature Christian being guided by the Spirit. Here, the role of Jesus and the Holy Spirit are interchangeable. And this is the life that we wanted to live. I have been reflecting a lot lately on my journey as a pastor over the past 43 years. I hope that Yucaipa is my last parish to serve, because I have walked my butt off to serve the church and I have no more butt left to serve another parish. Pat's been telling me always, just like 15 more years. I don't think I can last that long. I asked the Lord what my future journey would be like, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me with a hymn, as often he does. The hymn he put in my heart was "The Old Rugged Cross," as if he were saying, you will carry your cross until I call you home someday. So, you know, when I stop carrying the cross to serve parishes, there may be a different cross for me to carry. So I asked the Lord, I have served you in parishes all this time. What kind of cross do you want me to carry in the future? The Holy Spirit spoke through another hymn whose lyric said, I do not ask to choose my path. Lord, lead me in thy way. I haven't heard the hymn before. I did not know the song, but, you know, I often, actually not every day, I play hymns for my meditation, and just open, just like that. When we are led by the Holy Spirit, we don't get to choose our path. We let the Holy Spirit lead our path. The Word of God illuminates two different lifestyles, one with us holding the helm, and the other with Jesus holding the helm. The Holy Spirit counsels us to give up the helm and give it to Jesus. Listen to the Holy Spirit and do not insist on choosing our own path. Let Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, lead, for he knows which direction is best for us. He also knows a potential storm is ahead and has the power to handle it. Amen.